Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, welcome to the show today, Comedy Concepts. Today I'm thrilled to have a fantastic guest. Oh my gosh, what doesn't this man do? Ian Finkel. He's regarded as the world's greatest xylophone virtuoso. He's appeared and written for such stars as Mike Feinstein, Sid Caesar, Rogers, Bill Puente, Larry Gatling, Martin Mull, Madeline Kahn, just to name a few. He's appeared on all the major television shows and recorded on most record labels, successful concert tours in Japan, Korea, Canada, well, just let's say around the world, okay? He's collaborated with Philip Glass, and you've heard his works performed by numerous orchestras, such as the American Symphony Orchestra and the Little Orchestra Society. Ian's performed and in and written numerous television shows, films. This guy just goes on and on and on. Love Laughs with Terry Garr, Martin Mull Showtime, Jerry Lewis Telethon, Woody Allen's Radio Days, Emo Phillips, Judy Tenuta, Taj Mahal. This guy is everywhere. Okay. The Sid Caesar Show at the Village Vanguard in Broadway. How old can you be? Oh, my gosh. let's see. And also, of course, with Fiverr Schfinkel Live, which is his dad. Readathon with Sesame Street Players, Rainbow Wars. The list goes on and on and on. And if it's not that this man's not the world's greatest xylophone player, let's just move on to the fact that he's also an author. And he's got novels, okay? He's got, I think, four of them. Three is a Charm, Sex Stories My Wife Told Me, Transmutation Blues, and Vaudeville 1922. Oh, okay. Published by Denise Nostermans. Very famous. This guy's very famous in Europe, by the way. So I went online and to try and find a little of him performing live. And I believe this is from a live performance on a tour he was doing. So if we'll just count down a little, and we're going to hear a little of the world's greatest xylophone player.
Excellent. Tonight's act is absolutely phenomenal. Ladies and gentlemen, his last album he won a Grammy for. And he is the world's greatest xylophonist. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Ian Finkel!
Thank you.
That was amazing. Shout, my favorite song. Okay, I'm going to open up his mic now. We're going to talk to Ian.
Played some of the right notes.
I love that. Rock and roll xylophone. At what age did you decide, Dad, I want to play the biggest transportable instrument?
It's not that transportable.
I know.
And it's not that big. It's big enough, though. But then again, being Jewish, I hire people to carry it for me. What do you think? I carry it myself.
Well, give us a little backstory on you. You grew up in New York?
Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, okay.
I was born in Brooklyn, but I mean, I've been living in Manhattan for 400 years or something.
And when did you decide, you know, your love of music to start?
Well, I always loved music, but I didn't play the xylophone until I was about 19. I was a lousy drummer, and then I kind of played a little bit of trumpet, and I was worse. And before going to work, you know, at the old Astor Hotel, my teacher got me a job. I was going to be, you know, working in the, you know, in the men's room, like one of them stevedores, you know. And it's true. It's honorable work, and I was going to do it. But then he said, you love music, and you read so good, and he showed me all the instruments, and I nixed most of them. I couldn't play them anyway. But then he showed me the xylophone, and at the time, don't forget, this is, I don't know, around the 1970 or whatever, I tried it, and I went, oh, wait a minute. This is so, I'm so cute on it. This will get me girls.
No one
said, it's guitar, you idiot. It's guitar. And I became a xylophonist, and I've been practicing every day ever since, you know.
And
I used to do 7-8 hours. Huh?
And you tour the world doing it, too.
I've been all over. I've been everywhere. So what? You know, I don't like everywhere.
Say, you're the first. I love your performance, and if the listeners would like to go to YouTube and see you perform it, because you just throw yourself into the whole process.
Well, that's what entertainment is supposed to be. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's not supposed to be making. Who was that? The Good Humor Man.
I'll have a vanilla.
You're supposed to have fun. I mean, the audience is supposed to enjoy themselves. Of course, you know. It's not supposed to be political statements or filth or this or that. You're supposed to have a good time and a lot of music. You know, I do music, of course, tell some gags.
Well, you try to get the audience participating and
I get them going. Sure. Well, I get them going, sure, you know. I mean, I don't bring them up on stage. I'm not one of those acts.
No, but you get them going,
you know.
And that's the important part. But I just love that you just throw yourself into it, just physically, that you're throwing yourself into it as well. And I said, boy, that man is having a good time performing. I love that.
Well,
and
of course. I mean,
You're the first rock and roll xylophonist I've ever heard.
I think I'm the first rock and roll xylophonist I ever heard. But, I mean, I play you all in my act. You just played
I'll play some snippet. Later
I
in the show, I'm going to play
jazz. I play jazz. I play Latin. I play classic. I play everything, you know.
I just love it. You played my favorite song, Shout. That was it. That's my favorite song. I love that. And
don't lower your expectations.
Then you also, you're a young man, you're playing music, and then you got into writing. Tell me a little bit about that.
I, not that long ago, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, or not 20, maybe 15, I since I know every joke ever written, I know every story ever told, I know everything about everything. it's ridiculous. I decided to start writing, you see, and I wrote one nonfiction book. I don't want to talk about it. It did pretty well, but that's a different publisher. Then I started doing novels. You see, like you mentioned,
yes.
You know, and I met this a wonderful lady. Her name is Denise Notermans.
Yeah, I was trying to pronounce that.
That's okay. And she had I met her actually on a cruise ship. See, I was sitting there writing. She asked me what I'm doing. She said she's publishing this and that, you know, and she has this company, More for Many. And she published right away, fantastic, three books. They're doing the fourth, should be out in the fall. you know, she published, my first one was called Three's the Charm. That's a love story. That's the one I sent to you. And then Sex Stories, My Wife Told Me. Not my wife, the guy in the book, obviously. And then the third one was Transmutation Blues, which is about a, it's about people changing their careers, you know, in midlife. You know, a bouncer winds up selling cards in a card shop. A model becomes a restaurant inspector. A rabbi winds up selling used cars. Anyway,
are these true stories or?
A lot of my stuff is based on true stuff and the people I've talked to, and then a lot, you know, as a writer, you know, you twist them around a little bit, you know. You light up an extra cigar and you go to town.
And where can people get these books?
You can get them, I think you can get them at Barnes & Noble and this and that, you know. I think, yes, Amazon as well. Of course, you can always go to my website, ianfinkel.com. You could see them there. You can go More for Many. It's like M-O-R-E, the number 4, and then M-A-N-Y.
That's the publisher.
You can go to that, and you can get them. Yeah, More for Many. Go ahead.
All right, I was going to ask you more about your writing. Mm-hmm. You've written for so many celebrities.
Yeah.
What was your most enjoyable?
Are any of them still alive? All the ones you mentioned. Well, most of them are gone, unfortunately.
Jerry Lewis is alive.
Yes. Well, we won't go into that.
but what was now? Did you write for your show of shows or for Sid?
Oh, no, I'm not that old.
Oh, okay.
To write for your show of shows, you'd have to be in the age of Neil Simon or one of those guys.
Well, how about Martin Wall?
You'd be 80 in your 80s now.
Terry Garr. I love Terry Garr.
Yeah, I wrote for her a number of years ago. There was a TV show called Love Laughs, and she was a wonderful person. She was a lovely woman, really lovely, and talent, unbelievable. No, she was great, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I wrote for a lot of people.
Yeah, Woody Allen's Radio Days. What did you do on that?
That was my one of my more infamous cameo roles. In a movie, Radio Days. You see me, what am I doing? I'm at that time I was with Tito Puente in his band, you know.
Wow.
And he had a big scene with Tito Puente, and I was there, and he went in, you know, with the cameras on me. I was playing Tico and all that junk,
oh,
you know.
Another favorite.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, it was good, yeah.
So have you done numerous acting roles, or...?
I've done some in my day. I've done a few. Like I say, in a movie, I did a couple scenes in the show with my dad. We did a show, Five-ish Finkel Live. We did that for the folks being in the theater, and I've done some. I once played the voice of God in the life story of Lord Buckley, and he was a comedian. You know who he was.
Yeah,
I know
Lord
Buckley.
Was, yeah.
I'm
fabulous. Not old enough,
yeah.
But I used to collect.
Albums. Neither am I. I mean, I have his recordings that his biographer gave me. But obviously, I was a jazz voice of God. You know, please forgive me. I wasn't going to do the voice of the guy that does the news for CNN. Everyone thinks I have a Jerry Lewis voice.
A Jerry Lewis?
You know, lady. Well, I don't think so. It's getting lower. I think I'm more like, there was an old radio star whose name was Fred Allen.
I remember Fred Allen, yeah.
Yeah, he was an incredible writer, too, you know.
Fred Allen with Benny...
Well, he had
Benny?
The feud with Jack Benny, yeah. That was a fake feud, you know, for fun, you know, for comedy. And I think my voice is more like his, but whatever, you know.
Well, they won't
Can't
know.
Change No, what nobody
is,
knows.
Tell me about, I'm interested, it's Sophie Tucker in person. What show was that? Tell me about that
This
show.
Was a show I wrote a couple of years ago. It's still going around, starring Cheryl Ann Allen. And what it is, it came out very nice. It's a one-woman show that Cheryl Ann Allen does. She is Sophie Tucker. She's Sophie
Tucker. I love
Tucker.
Sophie Tucker. I love
she,
Sophie.
Well, who does? I mean, Sophie Tucker was the greatest, certainly one of the greatest vaudeville stars. I'm supposed to be an expert in vaudeville. So they tell me, I don't know, who is an expert, can't know everything, but I know a lot. And she does the entire life story and tons of music, naturally.
Oh,
the
that's
great
my favorite
tunes.
Part, that Sophie Tucker was,
yeah.
She's such a bawdy joke teller. But then,
she was terrific. But yeah. People think, actually, she was, a lot of people, when they do her now, they do her dirtier than she really did. Actually, on stage, maybe in a nightclub, she was a little more blue. But in the vaudeville and everything, you couldn't be, and of course not on the TV, you know, when she finally made it to television, you know, Ed Sullivan and all that. And she she was a great star. What can I say? She was just, and one of the original Friars Club
members. But she also was a great, would you call it blues singer or...
Yeah, she could sing all kinds of. Yeah, she had big hits. She had My Yiddish Mama, and she had a lot of big hits, and they were all in the show, of course.
She had
a
great resonance to her voice as well.
Oh, she was deeper, full, and it's very funny. Sherilyn Allen, she looks like Sophie Tucker and dresses like Sophie Tucker. The only thing I asked her, if she could have her nose flattened out, she wouldn't do it. I don't know. You know, some people, they just...
Well, she was a big-sized woman, wasn't she, Sophie?
She was I don't comment on that stuff, you know. Yeah, she was wasn't skinny, you know.
Zoftig.
Zoftig is a very good, a safe word. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be smacked around, you know.
Also, you've done a lot of arranging, too. I see Nick at Night.
I wrote for just about everybody.
I'm just curious, because to me it's just one of the... I mean, I sing, but I consider myself a comedian who happens to sing.
Sure.
And I can carry a note. But to me, the fascination with people who can just understand music is amazing. The grasp
it's
of the
craft.
Notes and
it's a craft. It's not... you know, it's a craft. You can you learn all the stuff. The greatness comes in if you have the talents to do the really extra stuff to really make it theatrical and sparkle and unique and all that. When you take a song and you make an arrangement of it, you know. I mean, obviously, the great arrangers of especially of the 40s and 50s into the 60s. You know, Nelson Riddle, Billy May, all those guys. It's not only that they had the craft; it's that extra little spark of their wonderful talent. That's really
it's amazing
the thing.
Because, like, reading music and everything. Wasn't there? Was it Bix Beiderbecke who didn't read music and was a great?
Sometimes they say he didn't read Bix Beiderbecke. He was a great jazz cornet, but no, he read music because he played in a lot of bands. And record it. No,
I think he learned to read music.
I think more legend.
More
than
legend
not.
Than anything.
Well, yeah, there are some musicians that didn't read; they just had incredible what they call ears. You know, hearing like Buddy Rich, the greatest drummer. You know, he really didn't
good
read.
To that. And who
yeah,
was it?
Errol Gardner
was it
didn't
Irving
read.
Berlin that only played like in one key? And
yes,
had
he
the,
had
one
a
of those
special piano.
That raved. Yeah, raise the octave.
Yeah, he had a special piano in the key of F sharp. And I think, I don't remember if it's the one you stand when you play. It was a special piano. He played one key.
I think
it's
the one where you push a thing and it raises the key.
Yeah, it raised it up, yeah. But he was a genius, though. Look what he wrote. Look at the songs and the lyrics and everything. But I'm not telling everyone don't go out and study and don't learn how to read music to all the musicians listening.
Well,
in.
I'm just
saying
kudos to you. Kudos to you. And if you want to find out
reading.
More, you love reading. www.ianfinkel.com.
Ianfinkel.com, I think, gets you there.
Yeah.
I don't think you need the W's anymore.
Even if you just do the dots, it'll get you there.
Yeah, we should just go out on stage like that comic did, you know, instead of saying good evening, you know, just go .com.
.com.
Then you're
That's
in.
It.
Then you're in.
And
right.
also, I just want to, can you believe how fast the time has flown? This has been
it's
so
It's already
terrific.
Flying, yeah.
It's flying, and I'm going to play one of your songs on the way out, and I have some people
I appreciate it. I
in
only
the
wanted
chat room,
it.
I have some people. Let me just tell you who's in the chat room. Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., and she follows movies. She'd probably love you as a musical guest. George Bettinger. Do you know George Bettinger from the Mom and Pop Shop?
I know the name, yes, of course.
All right. Yeah, he's Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. on Dreamstream Radio and the Steve Mendoza Show. You have three shows listening to you at
Steve
the same
Mendoza
time.
Steve Mendoza once interviewed me, came over. I know him.
Yes,
very lovely
he's a,
fella.
He's a sweetheart, too.
All
so
I want to say, listen,
yes.
all, Nancy, I want to thank you. For everything.
Oh, sure. No problem.
And
I
of
love
course,
having you.
And all I want to say so I don't get smacked around is April the 21st, I'm at the Friars Club with my dad, Fivish Finkel, and my brother, Elliot Finkel.
An adorable man.
And we're doing, we're going to do our act. We're going to do our show that we've done all around the country, you know.
I hope I don't have a Friars softball game. I'm writing it down. April 21st.
April 21st. The show is 8:30. I think you go to dinner at 6, and then the show's 8:30. I don't know. I don't think it's that expensive. It's Friars got good food, actually. And
they've got good food. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. And then we do the show.
And then you do the
and
show.
I got my
All
band
right, and,
with me. I got my
again,
boys with me.
Where can they find your books? Because your books are fun.
Just go to ianfinkel.com, and you'll see them there. I think one side says musician, one side says author. Go to the author side. You know how to click with that mouse business.
I think
they can
figure that out.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
and remember,
I play an instrument that went out of style in 1932. You're lucky I know
it.
How to make a
I
cup of coffee.
It. Three is a Charm, Sex Stories My Wife Told Me, Transmutation
right.
Blues, and Vaudeville, 1922. Go check
right,
them out.
That's coming out, yeah.
That's at More for Many for the book.
Correct.
All right, thank you. And I'm going to play
you.
Out some more music. Thank you for being a guest on today's show. I am
I appreciate
single.
It. Okay,
right.
take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Much love. Great guy. What a great guy. We're going to play a little bit more now. Thank you.
Oh, happy.